Jesus came to me.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I got a few things I want to read on my phone. We've been talking the last, three weeks maybe, from service to service, not every service, but just picking and choosing services as I felt the Lord was leading me to try to help you understand the importance of obeying some things in God's Word to live the happy Christian life. There's a lot of folks that are saved just not happy. I understand burdens. I understand trials and valleys. I do. I understand those things. I have them myself. There's none of us that are exempt from them. And yet the Bible says that in verse number 12 here, blessed is the man, in our chapter number 112, verse number 1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And we've talked about that word blessed. It's intense happiness. You can be intensely happy. You can just be overflowing with joy. If you just do things God's way. That's a little problem we have, though, isn't it? Doing it God's way. We have our own way. And yet God said, if you'll do it my way, there's a blessing in it for you. And so tonight I want to talk to you about fearing the Lord. Now, before I get into this, I think that Psalm 111 and Psalm 112 go together. There's, in the structure of the psalm, there's 10 verses in each, if you'll notice. Psalm 111, Psalm 112, there's 10 verses in each. The structure, the first 8 verses in each of these psalms, they have what's called like a couplet. In other words, there's 2 phrases or 2 truths, and then the last 2 verses have triplets, which means there's 22 points. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and so what these psalms were written, many of the psalms are constructed this way to help the Jews to memorize them. The Jews memorize a lot of God's law. And it's important that we memorize some things. It is. It's not easy to do, but it is important to do, to hide God's Word in your heart. Now, while the structure, and did you get what I said about the structure? It's rare that you find 2 passages of Scripture back to back with the same structure. And while the structure is the same in 111 and 112, the emphasis is different. But they're similar, and they're different even. Notice, if you would, in Psalm 111, notice verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you read Psalm 111 sometime in your own private time, you'll find that this psalm is about the fear of the Lord. Who is to be feared? God is to be feared. But Psalm 112 doesn't talk about that. Notice in verse number 1, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. In other words, it's not the fear of the Lord, it's the man who fears the Lord. That's what Psalm 112 is about. Psalm 111, fear the Lord. Psalm 112, what happens when a man does? What can you expect when a man fears the Lord? So Psalm 111 is the one to be feared. Psalm 112 is about the one that fears the one that is to be feared. Do you fear the Lord? Say, I'm scared to death of Him, preacher. Well, I don't think that's what the psalmist has in mind. However, I will tell you this. The Bible does say that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so while this psalm is not talking about fearing what God can do to you, it is talking about what you can do to the Lord. You can fear Him. It's a reverence. It's a respect. And actually, I think verse number 1, look at the latter part of verse number 1, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. In other words, a man that fears the Lord is going to be turned to God's Word, and he's going to delight in His commandments. Now, as I read through this psalm, there are some things that I think would really help us. Now, they're not going to be easy. And so as I stand before you, the weeks that I've stood before you and told you, hey, you know, be happy. If it were easy, everyone would be doing it and we'd all be happy. But it is attainable. It's something that can be done. God will never command us to do something without enabling us to do it, if we just choose to do it. And so we've talked about in Psalm 32. Let's go over it again, because I want you to be happy. Okay, there's too many unhappy people, especially Christians. Too many unhappy professing Christians in this world. God wants us to have a smile on our face. God wants us to serve the Lord with joy. He wants us to have a song in our heart. Right? A people that are in captivity, they're the ones that lose their song and hang their harps upon the willow trees. But a people that are living free ought to have a song in their heart. Amen. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You see. And so in Psalm 32, the Bible says that we ought to be blessed. We will be blessed when we have a right standing before the Lord. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen? Are you in a right standing before the Lord? If you are, that's something to be happy. God will give you peace in your heart and joy in your heart. If you're not, you might want to check your standing before the Lord. Number two, we looked in Psalm 34 where it says, blessed is he that trusteth in him. We trust the Lord. We trust him with all of our heart. We can't lean into our own understanding. Right, brethren? We can't do it. Oh, we're tempted to do it. We're apt to do it. There's just something in us that wants to do it. But we can't. If we do, then we move away many times, away from what God wants, and we lose that source of happiness and joy. And we find ourselves perplexed. And so, that right standing before the Lord. And then in Psalm 34, we trust in the Lord. Then Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is a man that's living by the book. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Right? That's the blessed man. Not the one who keeps their own company and goes to their own places. Because you can't be with the wrong people in the wrong place and do the right thing. It's very difficult. You're putting yourself in a bad situation. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is that where your delight is? Is that where my delight? And in his law doth he meditate day and night. These are ways to be blessed, to be happy. In spite of all that the world throws at us, in spite of all that the enemy, the devil, throws at us, we can still have a happiness in our heart and in our lives. And then we looked at blessed in Psalm 84 is the man whose strength is in the Lord. You see, that's who we get our strength from. We do not do this in the energy of the flesh, though we can. And God will let you do it. He'll let you do it in the energy of the flesh. And you'll wear yourself out trying to do God's work in the energy of the flesh. God's work is a spiritual work. Now, it takes physical activity. I understand that. But we need spiritually energized to do the work of God. And then we come to this passage. A man that feareth the Lord. What is the psalmist going to teach us here that's going to help us in our life? Well, I know that it caused me to do some introspection, to look inside and to be challenged, ask some questions of my own self, and am I following this pattern? Let's look at what the psalmist said. The first thing I want us to notice is he begins to talk about our posterity. He talks about our generations, our children, our families. I tell you, the Jewish people were people that were very big on family. And we ought to be very big on family. Your family ought to mean something to you. Spend time with your family. Invest in your family. Notice what the psalmist said here in verse number 2. His seed. Whose seed? The man that feareth the Lord. His seed. See, a God-fearing man is concerned about his family. A God-fearing person, you see. A God-fearing man, a God-fearing woman, a God-fearing dad, a God-fearing mom is concerned about his posterity. He's concerned about the generations that's going to follow him. And he said here, he said, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. He's saying here that there's just this life that's going to be seen by his children. Your children's watching. They know if dad fears the Lord. They know if mom fears the Lord. You can fake it with the preacher. You can fake it with a neighbor. You can fake it with a deacon, the Sunday school teacher. But your children see you when no one else sees you. And they see how no one else sees you too, don't they? They do. And so we said, listen, you need to really understand that there is an observation going on in your life. And God-fearing people understand this. God-fearing people. They understand that there's something to be passed on. Your children. You see, your children is going to follow in your footsteps. Preacher, I don't know if I want them to do that. Well, I'm sorry, you don't have much of a choice in that. A lot of our children will turn out in many ways like we have turned out. Well, I didn't get no amens out of that one. What are you afraid of? Hey, that's just a fact. I look around our congregation, I see a lot of little youths. And in many cases, that's a good thing. But we have to be careful now. They're watching. They're watching, Dad. They're watching. Mom, listen, the little ones are watching. They're observing. They're taking mental notes. They see. They know. They know when you're not all in. They know when you're not getting godly counsel. They know when you're not praying and when you're not in the Bible. They know when you fake sick or just lay out of church or you put other things before God. The children know. The others may not, but the children know. God knows, and the children know. And the God-fearing man says, I want to live in a way that when my children observe me, they're going to see that I'm a God-fearing man. You know, I think all of us probably could go back in our lineage and we could look back. And I know for me it was a grandmother, and you've heard me mention her many times. A weeping, praying, God-fearing grandmother. She made a profound impact on my life. Even when I didn't want to have anything to do with her. I mean, it went right over my head, I thought. But really what it was doing was going in my heart. Yeah, I thought I was turning it away. I thought I was turning her off and that I was going my own way and doing my own thing. But what God was doing is taking those seeds and planting them in my heart for a future time in my life. And I think probably each one of us here tonight can look back and say, you know what, I had a dad that way or a mom that way, and I didn't. And that doesn't mean that I'm angry or bitter at my dad or mom. It just means that's kind of the hand, so to speak, that I was played. But I thank God for my grandmother. I thank God that there was someone, a staple. There was someone, a pillar that was in my life, that God put in my life, that there was a God-fearing lady that I meant something to her. It meant something to her that she sowed some seeds of God in my life. And what it did is it made me, when God blessed me with my first child, Meredith, it made me and Sharon get on our knees and pray to God, God, don't let us mess this up. We don't know a lot about this. We're new with this. We don't know a lot about this. God be our helper. We've never parented before. We don't know what to do. But God, we want you to help us. And I got to tell you, God helped us. God showed himself strong. We made many mistakes, but thank God his grace was sufficient. And I'm thankful to God for someone in my life, and you have someone in your life. May not even been a family member. But I believe that each person probably in this congregation tonight could look back and say, yes, I had someone like that. Look at verse number 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. You see, that's the God-fearing man. Who? It's the man that feareth the Lord. The man that has a reverence for God and a respect and an honor for God's word and God's way. His seed, you see, it means something to him. He doesn't just live his life for himself and by himself. He realizes he's being observed, and there's notes being taken, and there's character being instilled in the lives of those that are coming up under him. He gets it. I believe some of you get it. I pray that we all would, because it's so. Notice what he said after that. He said, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. You say, preacher, one of the greatest things that I desire in my life is to see my children grow up and serve God and be blessed. Well, here the Bible says, just fear God. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? then fear God. You say, well, does that mean that my children's going to turn out all right? I tell you what. Now, some, your children's already grown up, and they're out of the house, and you say, well, I can't have any more influence over them. Don't you let the devil tell you that. Don't you let the devil tell you that. You can still have an influence. You live for Jesus. You fear the Lord. You keep doing right. You keep setting that example before them. Amen. Don't you let the devil tell you, well, you know, it's over and you're done and you've lost and you're a failure. Don't you let the devil tell you that. You keep doing what's right and you fear the Lord and you reverence God and you stay true to the things of God and you set that example before them, the posterity, our children, what they see and what we share with them. See, we pass some things down. I read something, and I started to write it down. I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to this thing about fearing the Lord. This statement just really stuck with me. It says, the church today is plagued by four serious deficiencies. There's a lack of practical knowledge in areas of the indwelling and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there he is. Number two, he said, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Some folks think, you know what, I'll just live the way I want and God will be okay with it. No, God is not okay with it. We are to submit ourselves to the Lordship of to Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Number three, he said, the omniscience of deity. And here's the fourth one, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Listen to what he said about this. Only God-fearing people rise to commanding heights of spiritual attainment. Did you get that? I believe that, brethren. God-fearing people get it. People that just casually and with a cavalier attitude go about this thing called Christianity and serving God, they don't get it. And so they do not attain to spiritual heights. Only God-fearing people can withstand the rising tide of godliness in these apostate days in which we live. Only God-fearing people will triumph and be overcomers in Christ Jesus. God-fearing people. Do you fear the Lord? Do you reverence Him? The fear of the Lord is to love righteousness and to hate evil. The fear of the Lord, look at it again in Psalm 112. Look at the latter part of verse number 1. Delights greatly in His commandments. That's the fear of the Lord. It's reverence. It's awe. There's something else that I read that was about children. When he says here, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Who? The man that fears the Lord. That fears the Lord. Not just because you say, well, I'm a Christian, so my kids are going to turn out right. Hey, by the way, let me just say this, all right? So, well, preacher, I've got my children on autopilot. You better take them off autopilot. You better watch what your children's doing, who they're with, and what's going on in their life. All of you should have said a resounding amen. There's a lot of wickedness out there. And if we don't teach them the right way and we don't let them know we're here for you and we want to help you and we want to guide you and we want to be there for you, someone else will come along and take them in the wrong direction. There's a lot out there, brethren. It would astound us really to really know what's going on out there. And so I want to encourage you. I read this. It was anonymous. I don't know who wrote this, but... It says, if a child lives in a household of criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives in a household of hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns to love. If a child lives with recognition, he learns it is good to have a goal. If a child lives with honesty, he learns what truth is. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith in God and those in whom he trusts. If a child lives with friendliness, he learns what it is to make friends. What's this author trying to say here? Your children's learning from you. Our children learn from us. So I send them off to school for that, preacher. You're their greatest teacher. Mom, Dad, listen to me now. You're the greatest teacher. And so he said here, the first thing that you need to understand about this thing, fearing God, it's going to help you in your home. Because your children's watching and they're learning. They're observing. And that, I don't know about with you, but that is a very sobering thought to know that. So, well, preacher, I've messed up. Well, it's never too late. It's never too late. Now, some of you with these young ones, I look across our congregation. We have some families in our congregation, even tonight, with small children. Understand something now. Your children's watching. Okay, they're learning. They're taking mental notes. And you'll find them acting just like you. They're going to pick up a lot of your characteristics. And so be a God-fearing mom, a God-fearing dad. Be God-fearing people. Number two, when it comes to this thing of money, prosperity, right? You see, that dealt with our posterity. Now let's talk about prosperity. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. And his righteousness endureth forever. You know, there's just some things that money cannot provide. Notice what he said in verse number 4. Verse number 4, he said, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. You see, to the man who fears God, there's a light in his life. There's a guide in his life. There's direction in his life. He said, wealth and riches shall be in his house. But that's not what he's trusting in. That's not what he's depending on. He has some spiritual wealth in his life. He has some spiritual wealth he can pass on. Light in darkness. Notice what else he said in verse number 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because his heart is fixed. He trusted in the Lord. Teach your children what it is to depend upon the Lord, to go to God, to pray, to seek the Lord. You do it and they'll do it. They see you do it. Listen, when God answers prayer, tell your children about it. Say, we're going to get together and pray. And then when God answers prayer, call your children together and say, God answered that prayer. Amen. Yes, it's important. It's very important. He said, so while money's a good thing and it can be used for good purposes, he said, there's just some things that money cannot provide. There's just some things that money cannot provide. It cannot provide light. It cannot provide peace. When you're sitting and I've been sitting there on quite a few occasions in an emergency room or in a hospital, waiting on a report from an attending physician for a loved one. No amount of money can bring peace to that situation. But having God in my heart and in my life and on my side can give me a peace in my heart that passeth all understanding. Can't be bought. See, that's God-fearing. When you fear God and you know, I'm depending on you, Lord, and I trust you and I reverence you and I know that you're going to show yourself strong in my behalf in this situation, God comes on the scene and does great and mighty things. Can I tell you, God has never let me down? Never. That's not a preaching point. That's a fact. God has never let me down. Never let me down. There's been times that I wondered, how is God going to come through? What is God going to do in this situation? And time and time and time again, God comes through. See, I want to be a God-fearing man. I still need help in this area. I want to reverence the Lord. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want my life to glorify the Lord. And the Bible says if we will fear the Lord and delight greatly in His commandments, we can see our children grow up and be blessed. We can leave a living legacy to our posterity. And then we can provide some things for them that money cannot buy. Assurance, confidence, faith, trust in the Lord. We teach our children to trust God with their life. We teach our children to pray about things and not just launch out there and on a whim and take a chance. Right? See, that's what God-fearing people do. God-fearing people seek the Lord. God-fearing people go before God and say, God, show me your way. Teach me your way. And that's what this psalm is teaching. Notice with me, if you would, in this matter of money, not only what money cannot provide, but what it cannot produce. Two times, look at verse number 3, he makes this statement. Look at the latter part of verse number 3. And his righteousness endureth forever. Look at the latter part of verse number 9. Right in the middle there. His righteousness endureth forever. Who? The God-fearing man. The God-fearing man. His righteousness. You see it there? The latter part of verse number 3. Endureth forever. Look in verse number 9. His righteousness, right in the middle of the verse, endureth forever. Verse number 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. What is he saying? He's saying leave a legacy. Invest in people. Invest in your children. Invest in your family. Invest in people. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not making light of this, that people's come to me and said, hey, preacher, you want to invest in this? You want to invest in that? I'm not that interested in investing in things. Now, if you are, that's between you and God. I want to invest in people. I want to invest in something where you get an eternal return. I want to leave something with some folks. I want to leave something that will live on even after I'm gone. Amen. And he said here that the God-fearing man is that way. Again, I call your attention to verse number 3, the latter part. His righteousness endureth forever. Verse number 9, he said it again. And then he said in verse number 6, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. The God-fearing man, he's happy. I see some things here to be happy about. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. And so, well, now, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, now, you take that up with the psalmist. God told him to write it. Amen. He said also in verse number 2, he said, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Yeah, those that fear the Lord. The word fear. It's reverence, it's respect. Now, there is a fear that it's a bad fear. And I don't want you to get mixed up here. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 said, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. You see that word afraid there? That's a bad fear. That's a fear that brings enslavement. That's a fear that brings burdensome situations in our lives. To be afraid of everything. And we're living in a society that is soon becoming afraid of everything. I don't know who posted this on social media, but it had some truth to it. It said our society today is a lot like the Israelites in the days of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Everybody's afraid of the plagues, but not the God of the plagues. Isn't that something? And brethren, I believe that's the day we're headed in, where people are so afraid of plagues. You know, but what about the God of the plagues? What is the God behind all of this, you see? God can deliver. Where's our fear for God? It seems like we fear everything and everyone but God. But the God-fearing man, there's blessing. There's joy. There's happiness. There's a great way to live your life. Let me close with this, okay? What's some of the characteristics of the God-fearing man, the God-fearing woman? So, well, how will I know if somebody fears the Lord or well, you know, that's between a man and God, but I do think there's some things that are outwardly that show. Look at verse number 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light and darkness. Look at this. We're talking about the man who fears God. That man that fears God, he's gracious. A God-fearing man's gracious because he understands that God's been gracious to him. See, that word gracious means shows favor. Right? Because he understands God has shown me favor. And so I want to be favorable. I want to show favor. A God-fearing man in verse number 4, look at it. It's full of compassion. He sees and he feels the needs of others. A God-fearing man's not about himself. He's about his children for sure. He's about his household for sure. But he's also, he looks out and he sees that there's a people out there that have needs. And when he sees people with needs, his heart is moved with compassion. And he wants to do something to help them. That's what God-fearing people do. Now, people that are just going through the motions and checking their boxes and getting a Sunday service in, well, see, that's not them. We're not talking about that crowd. We're talking about the God-fearing man. This is the way to be happy. Those folks are not happy. They're up and down like, listen, they're up and down like a roller coaster ride. Been there, done that. It's a terrible way to live life. Terrible way to live life. On, off. Hot, cold. In, out. Up, down. But the God-fearing man has some consistency about him. The God-fearing man, he's on track. He's got a vision, a purpose, a goal. The God-fearing man. His heart is full of compassion. He's helping people. He realizes that life's not about him. See, God makes a man that way. God makes a woman that way. Don't you believe that, brethren? Sure you do. Sure you do. God, listen, you can't walk with God and not be touched and moved by the needs of others. You can't walk with God and not have that happen to you. See, these are characteristics. Number one, it says that he's gracious. He shows favor. He's full of compassion. Look at this next one. He's righteous. That means his standard is just to do right. Why? He's a God-fearing man. That's his standard. He wants to do it right. He said in verse number 5, "As a good man showeth favor and lendeth." In other words, if you see someone that has a need, he lends him, he helps him. But now watch what the scripture says. Because there's someone out there who says, "Well, you can't help everybody that has a need." That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible nowhere teaches that. But this is what the Bible teaches. Look at what it says in verse number 5. "He will guide his affairs with discretion." That's a God-fearing man. He'll recognize there's a need, but he won't just say, "Well, there's a need, let's just throw money at it." That's not what God-fearing people do. God-fearing people look at the legitimacy of the need, and with discretion, knowledge, they make a decision on what to do about the need. That's what God-fearing people do. Say, "I want to be a God-fearing man." It's a way to be happy. It truly is. And so God help me and God help you. God help us to be God-fearing people. You know, I think some of you will remember this. It's been years ago. When people would refer to someone as a good Christian, they would always use that term. You see that lady going there? That's a God-fearing lady right there. How many of you remember that? Yeah. Well, you don't hear that much anymore, do you? I don't. I mean, maybe you do, but I don't. I don't hear that much anymore. Maybe it's because we're not putting a premium on that anymore. You see that man there, or you see that family? That's a God-fearing family. I don't know that they could really be higher praise and honor bestowed upon an individual or family to say they're God-fearing. That's a God-fearing family there. Let us fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It's a good thing. May we reverence the Lord. It brings a source of happiness that this world knows nothing about. Are you a God-fearing man? God-fearing lady? God-fearing young man? God-fearing young lady? Is your family a God-fearing family? It's a way to have happiness. Do you live your life realizing that you're under a microscope? People are watching. They're watching. They're listening. They're listening. And they're taking just what they want to hear out of the conversation. It's a serious thing, isn't it? It really is. Let's all stand.